Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In 2017, a woman named Rachel Leonard was interviewed by NPR for a story called "When It Comes to Social Media, There Is Always Another Story." Rachel talked about how she curates what she posts online. She picks and chooses only the best parts of her life to share with others. Even the pictures from her back porch were carefully selected. She said, if you look straight, you can see the mountains. If you looked left, you could see a factory. But of course, I didn't take pictures of that because why would you do that? But it's more than just pretty pictures from her porch, though. She admitted that she once shared pictures of a vacation that she and her husband took to Charleston, South Carolina. And the pictures showed them sitting on the beach and enjoying good food and being happy, while in reality, we fought all the time, she said. I actually tried to break up with him. It was a miserable trip. Rachel began using Facebook in her 20s when she was traveling around the world. She just wanted to stay connected to all of the people that she met on her travels. And that's fine. Social media does a good job helping us do that. But she, like many others, became increasingly aware of how we compare our lives to the lives of others that we see online. We can see pretty people with wonderful vacations and happy smiles and think, why isn't my life like that? Or on the flip side, we become ever more vigilant about posting just the happy stuff ourselves. Because in our digital age, image matters. We might not like it, but it does. And yes, there is plenty of ugliness online, too. Just talk to anybody who's had an argument online over any number of topics. But we still have this tendency to want people to see the pretty sides of our lives. We want them to admire us and think well of us. We want their attention and their validation, which often leads to a big disconnect between our online portrayal of our lives and our real messy lives. But don't think that this is just limited to being online, though. We do the same sort of thing in person. For example, has someone ever said to you, "Hey, how you doing?" And you respond, "Oh, fine, thank you." Right. We know that "how are you doing" is more of a greeting than an actual question. Sometimes when we meet someone for the first time, we greet them by saying, "How do you do?" Even though we're not really treating it as a question. The truth is, very few people want to know how you're doing, because they're dealing with their own stuff. Which means if you unload all of your problems and worries and pain on them when they say, "How are you doing?" then they probably won't listen to you. And they will think poorly of you. So in response, you just fulfill the social contract and say, "Oh, I'm fine, thank you." Even if you're really not. Sometimes in life, we are not fine, but we don't dare show it. We don't want to be that vulnerable online, since nothing is ever really deleted. We don't really want our problems to be part of our online footprint forever. And we also don't really share our real struggles offline either, for fear of how people will think of us, or how they'll respond to us. So we just put on an image. We post pictures of mountains instead of factories, even though the factory is just out of frame. We talk about all the fun times instead of the arguments that happen behind the camera. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners so that they may be seen by others. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting." On this Ash Wednesday, we hear this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And although we hear it every year on Ash Wednesday, one thing about it struck me this time around. I noticed how much Jesus talks about people doing things just for the sake of appearances. They're practicing their piety, they're praying, they're fasting, not for the sake of doing those things, but in order to be seen by others. They do it simply for the attention. Today, we might say that they're the ones who take a video of themselves doing a good deed just so they can post it online and have others praise them for it. Or they're the ones who, after coming to Ash Wednesday service, will post a selfie with the ashes on their forehead. Jesus isn't just talking about people in his day, my friends. He's talking about us, too. Even if we say we don't care what people think about us, deep down we really do. Back then, the attention came from saying long prayers or making a show of how you're fasting. Today, the attention comes from posting beautiful things online or bragging about how awesome your life is, not dumping your emotional baggage on others. And yes, we might not be egotists, but very few of us let others see the dark sides of our lives, because we want their affirmation. We want them to think well of us. Now, please note that Jesus is not telling his disciples to avoid doing these spiritual disciplines. Right? Giving and prayer and fasting are important. They can help us grow. And during the season of Lent, a lot of people take on a spiritual discipline, which is great. But Jesus says to do these things not to show off, but to grow closer to God. Those who show off have already received their reward, as he says. In other words, if all they crave is human attention, then human attention they shall have. But they shall get it for just a brief moment, because our attention span is only as long as a TikTok video. But what about those of us who don't have a picture-perfect life? What about those of us who have problems that not many people know about? What about us who have conflicts and struggles that go on behind the scenes or in our own hearts? Well, Jesus has an answer for that too. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We do these things in secret, and God will see us in secret and reward us. Now, that reward is not some kind of material thing, as if God's going to leave a like on your prayer or something. No, the reward is the fact that God is paying attention to you. Or let me put it another way. Some people just crave the attention and admiration of others. But when we confess that we're broken and hurting, when our mortality is clearly in front of us, when we receive an ashen cross on our foreheads, none of that is so that others will give us attention. We're not here tonight to take selfies. Rather, we do all of that to be honest. We are admitting that we are not as put together as we often seem. And even if others don't want to see the dark marks on us, God still sees us. And God still loves us. God still loves you. Yes, we are dust, and to dust we shall return. That is one of the great sobering truths of the Bible. But another great and amazing truth is that God can bring new life from the dust. I mean, think about it. That cross that you will receive on your foreheads in just a moment is a visible version of the oil cross that was marked on your foreheads in baptism. And those ashes will remain on your forehead for just a brief moment. I bet you'll wash them off before you go to bed tonight. But that cross from your baptism is always there. God takes the dust of your life and breathes new life into it. Like breathing the breath of life into Adam in the Garden of Eden. In all of your pain, in all of your hurt, in all of the things that you never share with others, God remains with you. God remains for you. And God will never turn away from you or think less of you. God sees the secret parts of your lives that you never talk about. And God still loves you. When Rachel Leonard talked to that NPR reporter about her social media use, she said the line, "There is always another story," from which the article got its title. And she meant that there is always another story that people aren't posting or sharing for the world to see. And that's true. But there is also a third story. There's the story we portray to others. There's the story we try to hide from others. And then there's the story of God, who loves us in all of our stories, who forgives us and who brings us to new life. And so as we enter this season of Lent, we begin with an honest look at our own frailty and our own mortality. But we also begin with a reminder of the love of God who sees us completely and who loves us anyway. God makes all things new, even people like us. And that's a story to share with the world. So in the name of the one who brings new life from the ashes, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.